You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir, I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Beer! That's what I need!
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
All my friends know the low rider.
What kind of beer?
The low rider is a little higher.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. Now don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to Dick Funny Head, the sexiest beer show. Dick, why are we calling it the sexiest beer show?
Because we got a lot of sexy beers and sexy men. Well, sexy beers. Anyway. But we are joined.
Hey, wait. I take offense at that. I am a sexy man. I'm proud of it.
Sort of a sexy man.
Well, you know.
So we're joined, proudly joined by Phil from My Life as a Foodie, which can be found at zeroface.wordpress.com.
Hey, Phil. And he is the sexiest man with food.
The sexiest food man.
There you go.
I'll take that. I will absolutely take that.
Good. That's all we're given. We don't just put out, Phil. We don't bend over for just anybody.
Well, I must be really sexy.
Now, there actually is a reason for it. We'll get to it in the third segment. But I think we're having difficulty getting the show going because of our warm-up / first beer. And Rick, you're drinking a whole bottle. Martin and I have split a bottle. And this is a lovely, sexy little number called Sammy Claus. And Rick, what's the specs on this bad boy here?
The bottle claims it's the world's most extraordinary beverage. I guess it's fairly rare. The malt liquor.
It is a malt liquor, and they're damn proud of it. It doesn't taste like a malt liquor, though.
Alcohol is 14% by volume.
Hoorah!
Brewed at the Castle Brewery, Eggenberg, in Austria. Not Australia, like I said the first time.
Yeah. And that was pre-Sammy Claus ingestion, too. You were just reading. Now that you've consumed 14% alcohol, your thoughts are much clearer and you're much more lucid.
And you're sexier.
And sexier.
They say it's brewed only once a year on December 6th. Sammy Claus is aged for 10 months before bottling. The beer is perhaps the rarest in the world. Sammy Claus may be aged for many years to come. Older vintages may be more complex with a creamy, warming finish. And what was your first thought?
Sweet. Real sweet.
Sweet.
It is a sweet beer. No hops. Little alcohol burn at the finish. I mean, that's what I got. What'd you get?
Would you say cloyingly sweet?
Initially, yes.
I got it.
But now that I've pounded down half a bottle, I just don't care.
Well, is it a sexy sweet?
I'm not in a rush to rinse my mouth out like I put something really nasty and dirty in it. So, but on the other hand,
that worm-eating incident really stuck with you, didn't it?
On the other hand, it didn't really pair well with our show snack, which I wish you guys were here to have it. It's Phil's recipe for is Gorgonzola beer cheese soup. What do you call it, Phil?
Gorgonzola pale ale soup.
Man, that was good. And I made it, and you kind of – I don't know how you felt about that. I made it last night because I thought it would be good to just kind of sit and meld together. I did have some last night, and it thickened up quite a bit. But
yeah, you cook it and then turn it – the next day, it's going to turn into like a cheese dip.
Yeah, but it thinned out. It was
one of those things you want to cook and serve.
Yeah. Well, screw it. I didn't. But it was still good nonetheless. And it was a pretty complex lot of taste to that soup. You know, probably the same – an IPA or the same one you used in the beer or something similar would have been the best beverage to go with it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm thinking if you – I'd like to experiment with that.
Well, because we went the opposite direction with the Sammy Claus, and that was super sweet versus a lot of hops and crisp, you know, like the IPA.
Right. Yeah, I think the hops actually could help attribute a bit to the flavor of the beer. To the flavor of the soup. So, the hoppier the beer, I'm not sure if you put something that's got more hops in it, if it would actually affect the taste as much. But Yeah. It's a young recipe, so we'll experiment.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my family got some of it last night and then had to, like, push them away to save it. So, yeah, that's a good point because and we talked about this a bunch of times about with pairing food and beer, do you go with complementary or contrast? And I don't think we've found the right beer to go with that soup yet because the Sammy Claus was just too overwhelming. And, you know, I drank a little Sierra Nevada while I was making the soup and a little after I had some of the soup. It didn't really fight with it, but I think that was because it wasn't that, you know, Sierra Nevada is more citrusy than hoppy, you know, bitter to me.
Yeah, I think anytime you're trying to pair beer and food together, it's a matter of taste. You know, you cook what you like, you eat what you like, and then you drink what you like with it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then, you know, you try something else.
Well, it was really...
But there's no set rule to what you should have with something.
Well, you know, that's what I've been looking for. Are there rules? Are there not? Are you just going to have to try a lot of beers and foods? You know, because the beer pairings that we've gone to, the chefs just take great delight in talking about how they tried all these beers to come up with which one goes with the food. So, you know, maybe there is something to that. Keep trying it.
Yeah,
bold
and dark. Yeah, you drink something bold and dark. You want it to go with something that has got that same texture. So dark beers with bolder foods like steaks and pork roasts and things like that.
Well, the interesting thing about this, because Gorgonzola is such a powerful cheese, and the white pepper, I put in the white pepper in the recipe, and I noticed that the finish, the taste on it, there's a little bit of spice. And I realized that it was a combination of the pepper and the hops. The hops kind of spice it up a little bit. And you wouldn't know it if you were, you know, if you had not been told there was beer in the soup, you wouldn't have known. It just adds a flavor, not a beer, but a flavor.
It's good. You don't want to know it's there.
No, it's really good stuff. So this recipe, is it on your site or is this just something you came up with? Because you had it posted on a message board we hang out at.
No, I haven't done it on my show yet, but I plan on it. I started screwing around with it after I came back from Wincoop that Rick was telling me about in Denver. And we went there and had it there, and it was great. And then I just started looking for a recipe for it and kind of came up with that.
So this is – they got this at Wincoop in Denver?
Well, yeah, they served it there, and I had it there, and I liked it. And I, you know, I tried to get the recipe, and, of course, they weren't going to give it to me.
Yeah, the
so,
bastards.
So I went and looked on the internet for a recipe similar to that, and I found something that looked relatively close to Vichyssoise, which is a French soup that I like. And so I kind of did that and then added the gorgonzola and added the pale ale and came up with that kind of a hybrid recipe.
Well, it came out great, and it really wasn't a whole lot of work. I mean, if you got a food chopper.
No, really.
Yeah. So, and it was, you know, your advice, crack a beer and start drinking. You deserve it. And then, what did it say? It said, now that you've been drinking, let's play with sharp tools and fire. Well, we'll look forward to that being on your show. But it was good stuff, and I'll offer testimony to that, actually having tried it. And good stuff. So we've got.
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. So we've got a lot more beers to go. Rick, are you still on the Sammy Claus, or are you off to the next one yet?
Well, I'm pretending I've. Didn't already finish my Sammy Claus, but I have.
Oh, you are, is all gone?
Something else.
You're a bottle of Sammy Claus in the bag.
Yes.
All right. Well, this hopefully the effects of the Sammy Claus will wear off a little bit for the next segments. And
okay, well, I think we need to promote the confrontation board. It's at www.thebeerreport.com.
Yep. And click on the forum. Yep.
And that's where all those podcasters hang out. So if you're not there, you're square.
That's right. That was the aforementioned forum we go to. So be sure to check out thebeerreport.com/forum or find the forum link and click on it and learn more about all the beers and whatever the hell else we talk about on all these podcasts. All of these podcasts, by the way, are featured on beersafari.com. It's a jungle of beer out there, and yeah, I got to listen to this podcast. I forgot what the rest of it was.
Oh, well, can we see Jane, maybe?
Huh?
Since we're Tarzan?
God. You're so obscure.
Oh, well. I'm sexy.
Obscure.
I make
obscure
up for it by being
reference.
Sexy.
That was way out there.
Hey, look, what are my fingers doing?
Because you're a sexy man, that's right.
I'm doing my snip snip.
You're really into your vasectomy, aren't you?
That's right. It's a verbal vasectomy. We're talking about what you didn't hear Martin say. All right, I'm going to play you some music and then tell you about it when we come back.
I can sing you a lullaby tonight. Things ain't going right, and I'm not one to tell. Let's be lovers some other time. Cause baby, you're my friend, and I don't think that it's right. I'm not the one in charge here.
Chris Love, and that was a local artist, guy here from Memphis. We had him on the show a year or so ago. We're bringing him back because I wanted to announce that we are almost through with the negotiations to partner with a fellow Memphis podcaster, Vexar Dave, and his podcast that he has going on out there is the www.vexarentertainment.com. And if you go to that, vexarentertainment.com, this is a boatload of unsigned Memphis artists. So Memphis is the birthplace of rock and roll, despite what you hear anywhere else. And these are some really talented people. And so what we're going to do is look to Dave to point us to artists every week in upcoming shows. And you're going to get some live from Mempho music coming at you. So that was one of our guys, and we got another one coming up here in a minute. But we're on to our next beer, Celebration Ale. And this beer is so good, it makes Rick want to get up and put on his disco shoes. He's down in the man room. He's got his shirt unbuttoned all the way to his navel. He's got his platform shoes. The mirror ball's going, and he's full of Celebration Ale. Rick, you going to sing along with it, right? The Sammy Claus is working, and now he's pouring some Celebration Ale on top of it. He's busy spinning around. Don't do the splits again, though.
I hurt myself with those splits. Celebration Ale is kind of an interesting beer because they advertise it to look like a Christmas beer, so you're expecting a nice maybe apple, spice, warm, cinnamon thing. It's not. It's hops.
It is hoppy. And it's great tasting. 6.8% by volume, a bitterness units of 62, which I honestly would have thought would have been more.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not. And Chinook. Bittering hops or Chinook, and we like the Chinook. Finishing hops.
Cascade Centennial.
Yep. Good stuff. And, man, this is good. And, you know, Phil, I thought about drinking this with the Gorgonzola cheese soup, but I hadn't had it. And like Rick said, I'd had this before, but I couldn't remember. Was this a Christmassy beer? Because you're right. You know, it looks just like a little Christmassy deal.
It looks like Christmas. Rick made a good point. It looks like Christmas, but it's not. It's false advertising. This beer is really, I think it's nothing more than Sierra Nevada's pale ale with more caramel malt in it. And then they bitter it with Chinook. It makes me thirsty. I think it's a little bitter. It's a little too bitter for me.
You know, that it's got a bitterness while it's in your mouth and swallowing. But it's the finish is kind of going away. I don't know if it's because of cascade. Well, okay, I'll take that back. It's mostly
gone. I think
that's
the malt is helping that.
You think so? Because it's not that high. It's kind of low alcohol. I mean, 6.8%.
I mean, that's what I'm tasting. Rick, what do you think? Do you agree with that or no?
Well, it's got a nice big foamy head. It's got the fluffy pillow on top, and it's got kind of a rich copper tone to it.
It's a pretty beer.
It's a celebration of hops. It's a celebration of the hop harvest, which is why they're kind of deceptive in their advertising.
Well, now, what do you think, though, since this is a hop beer, right? And Phil, so are you on the fence about it, or are you just – you're not careful?
No, I'm not on the fence. I don't like it.
You don't like it. Okay. Too hot.
Wow.
Too hot.
That's
okay.
Strong.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. It's not what I like.
Well, that's fine. That's the whole point. What do you like? What do you not like? And this is some honestly.
Well, we're going to have to send you up to Chico for your re-education program here.
The hop education.
I knew he was going to make it easy if I said that.
Yeah. I think he's just pissed off at people who make hoppy beer. Now this
well, they
is.
Better be careful. Hey, can I tell you guys something?
Yeah.
You know, I just went and recently bought hops at my homebrew store, and you know how much I paid for 2 ounces of Cascade hops?
No.
$8.50.
Damn. Man.
What?
Okay. Now
wow.
I'm glad you brought that up. I did a little research on, and you have no idea how good you're setting me up. I did a little research. You want me to tell you where the cheapest place to buy Cascade hops is? Mr. Beer.
Where?
MrBeer.com, $2.63 or $2.68.
Mr. Beer is the company that makes that do-it-yourself beer thing?
Yes, sir. They sell hops. And I got to working on this kind of as a segment, but I didn't finish it because I think I drank too many beers. But I was looking up hop prices at the different, if I went and I searched for beer kits. And I looked everywhere, and the prices are ranging. It seems like a lot of people are taking I don't know if they're taking advantage or if they're being honest, but I chose Cascade as my base hop to look for, and Mr. Beer had the lowest price on hops. And what was it? It wasn't North E-Brewer or something like that. It was like $4 and change. And I saw another one was $6. I didn't see anything that high. Man, $8. But that's from a local store, though, right?
Yeah, and so that's my question. I wonder if I'm getting taken. And, again, it is the 2007 crop, the 2007 Yakima crop. So it is. They are fresh hops. But still, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I was wondering about. You know, Mr. Beer selling, like, you know, this is like the 2004 model hops. Who knows? Okay, here you go. I'm looking at it. I just pulled it up. Cascade Pellet Hops, $2.79. Right now.
Well, buy as much as you can.
That's what I'm thinking. I was going to order some of these just to see. I mean, sure, they look like they've got little date stamps and stuff on it. So, as we know, the price wars are getting worse and worse, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So I expect we'll see a lot of this stuff. I'm headed to the beer store this weekend, and I'm going to check out, you know, how much they're paying for hops and what it is. Because this is just one of these things that I think, if we're not careful, people will take advantage of people who like good beer. And
I have some information on that, and I think that hops have been underpriced for some time, and they haven't done a market adjustment. So there probably is a necessary market adjustment, as all things. It's going to swing to the high end before it kind of levels in the medium. Phil, I have a question for you. Are you going to cut back on your brewing because of the prices of hops and malts are going up?
Absolutely not. There's no way. I mean, I love it too much.
Same here.
Yeah, just and I don't see that it would affect anybody who brews beer. Yeah, you're going to pay a little more, but you're not really anybody that and Rick, your wife will attest to this. You ain't saving money by brewing your own. You're buying all kinds of gadgets and stuff, and it's a hobby and a passion and that gets you a good buzz.
Look, the price of gas went up. I didn't stop driving.
Yeah, that's true. So, Rick, you said you thought. Do you think this is the case, or have you heard something about the hops have been underpriced?
I've heard that hops are underpriced, and they've needed to do a market adjustment for a long time. Obviously, with the ethanol and everything else that's going on, they need to start figuring out how much the crops are worth. Because they can plant other crops that will bring in more money that might be government subsidized. You know, the government interferes and they drive up prices in bizarre ways. So we might be seeing the effect of that.
Well, we're gonna touch on that in just a second, a little deeper in a more insidious way. But I noticed Martin. I was like waving at him, making signs to him. Phil, I think Martin's on your team. Are you not caring
for
this?
You don't like it either?
Well, it's all right. I just don't like the aftertaste. The aftertaste is really getting to me.
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't have thought it was this Chinook, but Chinook has always been a super aggressive hop when you bit. And I don't know if it's like how long you boil it, because I've had beers that claim they had Chinook, and it's like, no way. But like Arrogant Bastard and the Stone things, you know, they go nuts with the hops.
I think you're dead on, Rick. This is not a bittering hop. I don't think you should bitter with Chinook. I think you should either use your flavor or aroma hop, or definitely dry hop with it. But you flavor with it, it screws the pooch.
It's just over the top. It's not as piney as some of the stuff, but it's got a little bit of pine in there too. That's like that wood resin aftertaste or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm drinking it. I'm going to drink all of it, but it's definitely going down slow. Well, it's no Sammy Claus.
Rick likes it.
Well, it starts off good. It's just that once it gets down in your throat, the aftertaste just kind of says,
it's going to stick it around.
I don't want any more. Yeah. I don't want any more. Stop.
Well, Rick, are you liking it, or where are you at with it?
I am liking it. Schedule Martin for re-education.
Man, we're going to have to rent a bus. I think I may have to go. I'm too on the fence with it.
I obviously need it.
Yeah, okay.
They need to change their logo. I don't want to expect and anticipate a Christmas beer and get a hop bomb. You know, that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I'm not buying the Christmas beer I want.
I mean, there's snow, there's poinsettias, it says Celebration Ale. Yeah, the advertising on it's just not really good.
Maybe they use poinsettias as a bittering agent.
Could be.
Because they are poisonous.
Yes.
You think? Could be. But you know what? This is the second Sierra Nevada I've had that's been kind of a stealth beer. I think I mentioned this on a few shows back about I'd gone down to the local tap house to get a taste of the Sierra Nevada Harvest. And I thought...
That's nice.
Yeah, but see, I thought I was getting some kind of like harvesty fall sort of beer. And it wasn't. It was a super wet hopped beer. It was good. It was very, very good. Fresh hops, the whole deal. All right. Well, speaking of hops, we've got hop news and more in beer news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 4-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
Anheuser-Busch bets price hikes won't deter drinkers. This out of St. Louis, probably directly from the PR minions at Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch companies think consumers are more than willing to pay a little extra for beer. The nation's biggest brewer will continue raising prices to counter a rise in the cost of ingredients. Chief Financial Officer and lying sack of shit, W. Randolph Baker, told a group of stock analysts at a conference in New York Thursday. Our objective for the year was to find a way to cover cost increases. And we did, but just barely, Baker said, as his nose grew at an alarming rate. The cost of agricultural commodities like hops and barley has risen steeply, said Baker. That piece of work highlighted a bright spot for Anheuser-Busch. Yay! An apparent increase in consumer interest for domestic beers. Martin, consumers are interested in beer.
Oh, my God!
Call alert the media. And Baker said this with a straight face. Last year, beer industry shipment volume grew 2.1%, the best annual performance since 1990. He said beer industry growth in 2007 has continued to exceed expectations, up a whopping 1.8% to date. We see the resurgence in interest in beer. But the momentum there is likely you're going to have strong demand for beer, Baker said. Yeah, 2%, man. We're all up in that beer. International beer sales have outpaced domestic sales, said Anheuser-Busch. But they've been disappointed in its mainstay brand, Bud Light. Consumers are also disappointed in Bud Light simply because it tastes like infected cat piss. The biggest priority is accelerating the growth of Bud Light with a focus on improving our domestic beer profitability and performance. What about our interest and our biggest priority is making it taste better?
I love that they said they're more than willing to pay more for beer. That's true. What's that got to do with Budweiser, right?
Yeah, I know. And this is the thing, and obviously I'm a little cynical and sarcastic of this bullshit that's not worth the paper I printed it on. Because we were talking about this last show or show before last, and about we've been kind of, you know, going on this tangent about the hop prices and stuff. And Rick was bringing up like the Budweiser thing. They have a lot of control. This is just a bullshit excuse to screw over the consumers again. But we're also going to couple this and spin it like, the good news is that people are more interested in beer. And, of course, that kind of contradicts the findings. It hasn't increased. Remember we had on our interview with the Brett Pack and we were talking about it isn't really – the increase is due to a surge in craft beer, not the giant beer. Yeah, craft beer. Did I say crap? No, craft beer. I mean,
I'm agreeing with you, Dick.
That's where the overall rise in beer consumption is in the craft beer. It doesn't have a damn thing to do. They're losing market share, which I cut this last thing. Their stock's dropping. So good news for them.
Well, Dick, I'm really ashamed of you, the way that you just hold your feelings in. You really need to let your feelings out and share them.
I can't, though. I'm shy. I'm withdrawn.
I can tell.
That's what I do. But, you know, this is the thing about Anheuser-Busch. They're just some super huge, giant-ass conglomeration who's willing to stand up and lie to everybody who will listen. But that's not all. And they're also these rat bastards who'll pick on little guys who are just trying to make a buck.
Oh, nice segue to my story, Dick. I appreciate
that. Sure. Let's set them up. You spike them. Go ahead.
Okay, folks, I'm spiking this one. Okay, Houston, as in Texas, restaurant takes on the king of beers. The same anal bush thing that you were talking about?
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch.
Anheuser-Busch, yes. Well, according to the story, it may be only lunchtime, but Mambo, I'm going to pronounce that Mambo, seafood, a flavored beer, is a drink of choice. It is called Michelada. It's a combination of beer, lime juice, hot sauce, and plenty of other spices, which, Phil, you might want to jump in there sometime and see how that tastes. Anyways,
okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Get your Miller Chill and a bottle of Frank's hot sauce. You're good to go.
Good God.
It is so good it's gotten itself into legal trouble over its name. The trouble has been brewing. Ooh, like that nice little... Yeah. Since 2004, when Mambo Seafood filed a trademark application for its Mambo Michelada. And anyways, Anheuser or Anheuser-Busch blocked the application saying that Mambo Michelada sounded too much like Michelob.
Yeah, because it's spelled like Michelob.
It's spelled
like Michel. Yeah, M-I-C-H-E-L-A-D-A.
Yes, but it's a Spanish Michel.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm illiterate. I thought Michelada.
Michelada. Okay. Well, yeah, you are in Texas. That's right.
I'm in Tennessee. Shit, yeah. It's worse.
Yeah, well, Robert McKinley with Mambo Seafood says that they've been serving the drink since 1996 without any hiccups. So lots of burps and belches, but no hiccups. We've never had a situation that I know of in which a customer has ordered a Michelada. We bring a Michelada to the table, and the customer says, "No, no, no, I meant Michelob." The local restaurant chain says it spent more than $100,000 in legal fees just to keep its dream of selling Mambo Michelada brand alive. Some diners argue it's an unfair fight, especially for someone as big as Budweiser to be picking on a small restaurant. But it is a fight Mambo is willing to continue as long as its customers keep asking for another round so they can pay for its legal fees.
Yeah. I'm personally shocked they blew $100,000. I mean, I'd have rolled over and renamed
the damn
thing.
That's a lot of money for a local restaurant chain. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. And it's like, well, call it something else. Why would you even want to name something that even sounded like Michelob? And you know what it doesn't say? Is it made with Michelob? Is it even made with Anheuser-Busch products? They don't say. And when I first heard the ingredients, it's like beer, hot sauce, spices, lime. It didn't exactly gross me out. Maybe it's because there was a picture and I was looking at it, and it looked like something tasty. But
well, it did gross me out, and I think that they should definitely think about legal problems for serving their customers that crap.
Yeah, it probably is bad.
That's going to make someone sick.
So this Michelada thing, yeah, and I don't know what to think about that. I mean, I would have said, "Oh, screw you, AB. I'll call it something else. I'll call it, you know, ass beer or something." I mean, it's assalata. Sometimes, as it really does, it's like when you read it, instead of if you didn't have the picture to look at, it sounds nasty. But you know, you don't have to drink assoladas or Micheladas or Micheladas. There's good beer out there in the world, like Guinness. That's
right.
Good beer.
That is a very good. That's Spambalaya
and less. Yeah. That's right, Spambalaya. Last show has Guinness in it. And Guinness is a good beer you can get most everywhere, except in Dublin.
That's right. From the National Newsroom, thief makes off with 36,000 pints of beer. A man has driven off with the equivalent of 36,000 pints of beer from the Guinness Brewery in Dublin. More than 400 kegs of beer were stolen, a mix of Guinness, Budweiser, and Carlsberg, the BBC reported. It was estimated to be worth about 64,000 euros, which equates to about $94,502 U.S. dollars, at wholesale prices, but considerably more if sold through pubs to thirsty Irish drinkers, the BBC said.
Isn't that redundant?
Not a bad take.
Wait, thirsty Irish drinkers. That's redundant.
Well, the thing that got me, though, is that their Budweiser was involved in that as well.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from? How did that get to Ireland? What's some of that?
That's a good question. Yeah. I was going to say, let me get this straight. He stole 400 kegs of beer.
Yeah,
and he's Irish.
Yeah, that's a weekend.
Well, it's already gone. It's already gone. He's drank it all.
But you know, I thought about that. Wait, 400 kegs. Their kegs are the same size as our kegs, right? That's
a lot of beer.
Well, yeah. What did he have? Like a moving van? I mean, that's a lot of kegs. There had to be a big truck involved to do that. A well-planned heist.
I need to call Hog Dog and find out how he pulled this off.
Yeah, what kind of a vehicle would we need to steal 400 kegs of beer?
You need a semi.
At least a flatbed
semi. You'd have to have a
forklift. We're going to have to find
pallets,
out. We're going to call the beer distributor and ask them how many kegs fit in a truck. That's a lot of beer. 36,000 pints is like, you know, you can't even fathom that, but you can picture 400 kegs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of beer, man.
And he probably drank it over the weekend.
But did you and Phil, this is a cool thing about this stuff. Now, we've talked about this, and today is November 29th as we're recording it. And the headline.
Yeah, Dateline.
Yep.
Dateline Friday, November 30th.
Yeah. That's how good we are. This is probably happening as we speak.
This is why Big Foamy Head rules.
We have looked into the future and seen what's going on. We're reporting the news before it happens. Apparently, that's how fresh this news is. They reported it yesterday. Of course, you know, now that we, you know, we don't know about it because we're in tomorrow. But, God, 36,000 miles. That's an ass load of beer. But you know what? You just think about the damage that can do to people. Just if they depend on how many people. You got 400 kegs of beer. But it doesn't take 400 kegs of beer to do damage. As Rick's going to tell us about a guy who one can did some damage.
Local man injured by falling beer. I'm not sure I need to say more. I mean, falling beer is going to hurt anyone. But
yeah.
Orange Park, Florida. A man from Orange Park has filed a lawsuit versus lawsuit Crazy America after a can of beer fell on him at a supermarket in Ocala. Something Duncan says
yeah.
The incident O'Lester.
Happened
last month. O'Lester.
O'Lester. O'Lester Duncan.
Are you saying O'Lester or Molester?
Or O'Lester. Oh, Molester.
O'Lester is the fat substitute they put in beer that causes anal leakage, right?
And apparently this man.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably one of his symptoms from the beer falling on him. He's got anal leakage.
All right, let's call him O'Lester Duncan. Says the incident happened last month when he went to buy a 4-pack of Schlitz malt liquor
yeah,
in the store. He claims in his lawsuit that the 4-pack he grabbed was defective and improperly packaged and stored in the cooler. Duncan also claims the store failed to provide the proper means of getting the 4-pack from the display cooler to his basket. Normally it's called opening the door and sticking in your freaking basket. According to the lawsuit, the incident caused him to sustain some serious and grievous injuries, pain, suffering, disability, disfigurement, mental anguish, loss of capacity for enjoyment, and other damages.
Yeah, such as anal leakage.
His wife is part of the lawsuit. Maria Duncan claims she has, in the past and will in the future, suffer the loss of the value of her husband's services, society, companionship, and consortium by reason of his injuries. That means the guy's not boning her.
Yeah. He ain't a leak all over.
Does anybody who drinks malt liquor use a word like consortium?
Yeah. Their lawyers do.
The companies named in this lawsuit include Albertsons, Cone Distributing, Pabst Brewing, Miller Brewing, Lakefront Brewery, and the Stroh Brewery Company, and SDC Holdings.
It's like everybody.
But, homie dropped his malt liquor.
But you know what?
He can't get it up.
You know what it doesn't say? Where did it hit him?
Hit him in his foot, I think, right?
It doesn't say. Phil said it earlier when we were looking at it, it hit him in the foot, but it doesn't say where.
No, I think it hit him in the head, and that's how he was able to come up with consortium.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I mean, that's just God. Well, this is like that's like next to the slip and fall routine in the store. I mean, this guy's now like, oh, I dropped beer. Oh, I'm injured, and my wife, she's injured too.
It's not beer.
Guys,
it's malt liquor.
Let's not make light of this, guys. Let's not make light of this. Maria Duncan claims she has in the past and will in the future suffer the loss of the value of her husband's services, companionship, and consortium.
She won't be serviced by O'Lestra anymore. But, of course, I read that thought, wait a minute. What does his past inability to perform have to do with the damn thing? Well, because he was worried about beer hitting him. And now it did hit him.
What if she has, like, a magic, she has a magic ball and she can tell what's going to happen in the future?
Evidently.
They should get $4 million.
They probably will, too. But okay, now I don't really keep up with Schlitz Malt Liquor, but it names four breweries here. Who the hell makes Schlitz Malt Liquor? I thought it was Schlitz. Does Pabst own Schlitz? But it's got Pabst, Miller, Stroh, and Lakefront Brewery. Now I know
Lakefront. That's like a Wisconsin brewery, isn't it?
Okay, I know this. Pabst owns Stroh. They bought out Stroh. I know that. But what does Miller have to do? Do they have an interest in Pabst or something? I have no idea.
I think it's just the Miller's lawyers fishing.
There was a six-pack of Miller next to the Schlitz Malt Liquor. And that's what caused the problems. All right. Well, I know we got to wrap it up. And we're on to our third and, thank God, final segment of this. This may be a sexy show, but God, it's difficult. Get to that. Sammy Claus, obviously a bad choice to start off with. Yeah, good plan. Let's drink the really high octane shit before we start.
I tell you what, the Sammy Claus sure has made you look a lot sexier.
Thank
to
you.
Me.
I appreciate that. It's my new haircut. I used a number two.
Oh, okay.
I'm so glad I'm not over there.
Well, Phil, we kind of miss you.
All right, Phil, so you're bailing on us, right?
Yeah, I got to go.
Well, thanks for coming by.
That's what she said.
Thanks for the recipe for the Gorgonzola soup.
That was great.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me on here tonight, guys. It was fun.
We'll do better next time, Phil.
No, this was fun. Are you kidding me?
All right. Hey, we're gonna rat you out about your homebrew news. We're going to do it for you. Talk about that insidious, vile brew you got going on in your basement.
Oh, you don't even want to taste what I'm making with this $8 hop.
I want to know.
Is it another Celebration Ale?
Is it as good as the Celebration?
It's just like that, except I'm going to put baking soda or something.
That's some Alka-Seltzer, right?
Yeah, Alka-Seltzer.
There you go. Put it and call it malt.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Here's another song.
Fruit of the vine has done got to me one more time. Lord, stop this pounding in my head. I should have known just to leave the liquor alone. But now
so we're back, and that was friend of the show, Nancy Apple, who's also featured on our new friend, FXR Dave's podcast, FXRentertainment.com. Be sure to listen to hear some of these really just awesome Memphis artist. They cover a huge spectrum of music, and we're going to hopefully get a whole lot more from Vexor Dave, because honestly, those are ones I dug up. That, you know, folks that we know, and they just happen to be on there. So a tremendous selection, and we're going to be bringing some live, honest to God Memphis music. That's our new focus on music. No more stealing stuff.
Well, I want to tell you that twangy sound just really goes good with our next beer.
Oh yeah, and honestly, all the ones we've had before since they're so jacked up in alcohol. So we're multicasting beers here, Martin and I. Are enjoying the lovely, very sexy, kind of semi-exotic for a domestic beer, Dogfish Head Immort Ale. And Rick, you were loving on you some Immort Ale, weren't you?
That's a fantastic Scottish ale. It's got a really nice toast or smoky characteristic. It's rich. It's high in alcohol. There's nothing I don't like about that beer.
I got a taste of smoked salmon beer in my mouth.
It's well, I didn't get the fish part, but I got smoke like crazy. It's I don't know if they do peat smoke, but it's definitely some smoke and interwoven notes, it says, of maple, vanilla, and oak.
You can taste the sweetness to it.
It is a sweetness, a smokiness, a richness. I mean, for a Scottish ale, which I kind of waffle on those because I've had some that sucked, and I've made one that was just hideous, and this is great, though. I mean, it's a complex beer.
I can see Nancy drinking this and then singing
Immort,
it.
Nancy Immort would totally probably compose a song. Sorry.
Immort totally changed my mind on Scottish ale. And I have a wee heavy in the fermenter right now. So a little bit of homebrew news.
Yeah. And you know, the biggest thing I wanted to bring up on the homebrew news segment is and I said this before, Phil and you especially ragged the shit out of me on the video on Phil's website, zeroface.wordpress.com, My Life as a Foodie. And y'all are like, give me grief about the beer I said I was going to make. And you said, well, I'm not going to sing and dance. I'm going to tell you what I'm actually doing. So anyway, I did as I promised. I made the beer. It was the slowest fermenting thing ever. It took almost three weeks to finish fermenting. It bubbled very slowly. So I don't know if that's going to be good or bad. I had a little taste of the raw beer while I was pouring it into the secondary. It was pretty good. It was an IPA. It had Columbus and Cascade hops. Columbus is the bittering hop, and Cascade is the finishing, and dry hopping. It's dry hopped for a week or so, almost 2 weeks, week and a half, and I'm going to bottle it this weekend.
Is that the reason why you want me to come over, is to help you bottle?
Bottle. Somebody go wash the bottles.
Yeah, well, I figured I would be the secondhand man.
There you go. And Martin's got his own homebrew update. He has successfully brought his beer kit over
to the studio.
It's in the studio. It hasn't moved, but it is in the studio. So the next step is we're going to actually buy ingredients to make beer.
Oh my God, at $8 a package for 2 ounces of hops, I don't know if I can afford it.
Yeah, no kidding. This is like gold or something. Mm-hmm. Only, you know, if the hops, keep going up, man, beer's going to get awful classy because it'll be so damn expensive.
I wonder if we can grow hops in your backyard.
No. We tried. Rick, you tried growing some before, right?
Yeah, go to my old house. You might have some hops on the vine there. I don't know.
Oh, well, they're
probably. You have to talk to the current owner.
Yeah, I just sneak in the back. We know how to get in the gate.
Got three vines back there, though.
Cool. Well, we'll have to go check that out since they're still alive. And Phil, who, thank you, Phil, for joining us and had to leave, he's got an alt beer going. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and he also told us he's doing his cider again, which was on some of the lost tapes from the GABF. We sat in your beer room and drank his cider and raved about it and consequently lost everything.
Well, he said that he added another gallon of apple juice
yeah,
and yeast. What yeast were you guys talking about?
Champagne. It was cuvee yeast from the Champagne region, right, Rick? Wasn't that what he said?
I don't know Champagne yeast. I'm sorry.
It was a champagne yeast, but it was a very super dry cider. And so the thing he did different this time was he hit it with more apple juice and more yeast for like a secondary fermentation.
Uh-huh.
So it was great stuff, and I'm looking forward to him finishing it and maybe sharing a bottle of hell, both. I mean, it's good stuff. So lots of homebrew action despite the rising cost of hops. And, Rick, you asked earlier, that was a pretty good question about do you think this will affect homebrewing? And I don't think it's going to affect anybody. But this is something we need to reach out and ask a bunch of people and just really kind of get some feedback on this. I don't think anybody's going to.
Speaking of asking a bunch of people, you recently did a survey.
I did. And this is what we alluded to. We've kind of danced around the whole sexiest thing. Here's the deal.
We did dance?
A little bit.
I don't remember.
When that song Celebration was playing?
Oh, well, I was busy watching Rick and his
That's right.
Fancy ball.
The secret video camera, watching him dance around.
And by the way, Rick, you don't look that bad naked.
No.
But I wouldn't do it in public.
Well, that was a thong.
Oh.
You were seeing him from the back.
Ah, okay.
It's a little leopard's print thong and those high shoes. But I posted this on the confrontation board that we mentioned earlier, thebeerreport.com. Click on the forum link. The confrontation board, as it's called. And so I put something out about my wife had bought the People magazine with this year's Sexiest Man Alive. And I wondered, what do the people in the beer community think is the sexiest beer alive? And boy, did we get some responses from this. The podcasters have been weighing in. And send the kids out of the room. Okay, so
define what you mean by alive.
Okay, here's what I said. Here's the rules. It has to be a beer, and it has to be naturally carbonated, hence the alive part. Okay? So that's pretty much any craft beer, right? You don't find that many of them that are not naturally carbonated. So I asked for these guys, what do you think? And here is our friend Phil. Like I said, send the kids out of the room. This might get a little rough. Maybe send the wife out of the room too.
just as a side note, the woman that's actually doing the effects is his wife. So
that's what we're going to say.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So here is here's our friend Phil with his nomination for the sexiest beer of the year.
Hey, this is Phil from My Life as a Foodie. My nomination for Sexiest Beer Alive is Damnation from Russian River Brewing, and here's why. First of all, it smells really good, like a soft bed of flowers, but one you know not to lay down in because it's got thorns. Dangerous. Secondly, it looks gorgeous. Clear and lightly golden, with a rich, thick, frothy, big foamy head. And a Belgian lace that runs down the glass like a pair of white thigh-high stockings falling off her legs.
Oh.
Then, as you put her in your mouth, she explodes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
With flavor, of course. Rich fruit. Juicy fruit. Juicy, juicy fruit.
I want to see you swallow it all down.
Oh, she's a naughty little girl. And when I'm done, I open another one. That's my nomination for Sexiest Beer Alive, Damnation Golden Ale from Russian River Brewing.
Yowza.
Okay, I think I need a
shower?
A shower, a cold shower,
a
little bit
to yourself.
Of a beer.
I need a moment.
I need a moment alone. Maybe 2 moments.
I'm looking at a nice bubble bath with some candles.
I think Phil has pretty much made his point.
Here's what I think.
Now, you know, I had to go.
He was listening to porno while he was recording.
You think so? You mean that wasn't his wife in the background?
That was just his daily routine of listening to porno.
Yeah. I think you mentioned something on the post about toe suckers or something. I don't know what that means. But obviously, I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to tell you mine. But I'm going to have to – obviously, Phil has set the bar.
Well, just don't give me the sound effects.
I'm not going to do the sound. I'm just going to tell you. My nomination is the Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout, which
– Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. We had this Wow. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Carl Leonard. Caller. You know, we left the phone lines open. Wait,
thank you, Grandma.
Oh, you got a sexy grandma. You got to introduce me.
So I wrote that on there on the confrontation board. It's great. High alcohol, eat up with flavor. Our Christmas video coming out soon, which we're going to tell you about. You can actually see us loving on some black chocolate stout on a show or two ago. We were loving it. It's a great beer. And Bubby from Brain Gravy backs me up on this. He says it is one of his absolute favorites. So we're going to get more audio, more contributions from the beer casters, and we want to hear from you if you care to weigh in on what do you think is the sexiest beer alive. Remember, the criteria is it has to be a beer, and it has to be naturally carbonated. That's it. It's that simple. It's just about any good, decent beer. We've got all of the podcasters found on Beer Safari weighing in. I'm going to hold off on reading some of these, but the variety that is being presented is across the board.
Well, why don't you tell the audience again that link so that they can go read it themselves?
The link is the confrontation board. It's at thebeerreport.com/forum. And so log in and see this and read a little bit about this.
You won't see this because it's
That's right.
Podcasters only. So.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to do?
If you're not a podcaster, you're lame.
Yeah, yeah. You suck. No, but for all those who maybe you suck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to copy the post and post it on our site. So go to bigfoamyhead.com. It'll be on the link to show notes. For this very show here. It's great stuff. We want to hear from you. What is your nomination for what you just think is just, I mean, just an all-around super cool beer. You heard Phil. Obviously, he likes the Russian River a little too much.
And you can stay away from the Analyzer Bust.
Orville Blue.
Orville Blue. Man, or you can't go wrong with Orville. I mean, it's some... I mean, that's what, like one of the best breweries out of Brussels. It's a
is fantastic
beer. Is
he related to Olestra down in Florida?
No, Olestra was used in the making of this beer. But a lot of good stuff, so I'm going to kind of hold off on this. I know we've got – it's something that has got everybody's head spinning. We're going to cover this over the next show or two, and send us in something. Let us know what you think. Oh, shout out to is it Kirk, our friend in Germany? Checking in?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Awesome. We appreciate it, Kirk.
And smoked turkey, taking the oil and putting it in the smoker, and then...
he lost it.
He put it on noodles, right? Some kind of pasta. Yeah.
This is like an accident. Did you see the...
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to say, I'm probably going to try that.
It's like one of those, like, you know, that's how... What tires were invented and x-rays and shit. You screw up something.
The beer was the same way. Beer was an accident.
So if you look at that, that was like a happy accident where Kirk go to the last one, read the comment if you want to. But basically, Kirk misplaced a bowl of olive oil while he was smoking. Was he smoking a turkey? And
yes.
And he'd actually put the thing inside the grill. And it ended up smoking the olive oil, and it was fantastic. And it's Rick and I got all excited about it. It's like, man, we got to try that.
Kirk, if you decide to market this, you know, give us a call. We'll help
good
you.
Good stuff. Yeah, we'll pimp out your olive oil. But
better watch that. Popeye might have something to say about that.
Good.
And once again, I'm amazed we have any listeners at all, and I always appreciate them providing feedback.
Absolutely.
And if you noticed, Rick did respond. So, yes, we do read the notes and the comments, and we do respond.
It's just – here's the thing that bothers me. Why do so many people send us Viagra ads? What's up with that? Are we supposed to take that just the wrong way or what?
I'm sorry. Those are for me.
Was it you?
Yeah, I have multiple prescriptions that I have to get filled.
Okay.
Being the sexiest man here, I get a lot of action, you know.
The sexiest man in this basement.
Yes.
Okay. So great stuff, though, coming in. And stay tuned because this is turning pretty interesting. We've got a lot of opinions across the board on what it is. And, you know, now, since based on the response to this, we got to figure out how we're going to judge this. I mean, other than, you know, what do you like?
Payola sounds good.
Pay, yeah, cash money talks, baby. You can win. If your check clears, you win.
But, we're all winners.
We're all, are we doing Special Olympic rules? We're all winners. We're all yes, sexy sir. Beers.
If you drink enough beer, any woman becomes sexy.
This is true. I said a Family Guy commercial with Brian said, says, why don't you just shut up, you increasingly good-looking woman? So we're going to pop open our last beer. And what do you know? It's the Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout. And our official patented tagline, it's the beer that makes you say, ooh. All right. Hey, you know what, Rick? Because that golf clap reminded me of something. Would you treat us with a little bit of class, a little bit of culture?
A little haiku?
Beer haiku daily.
Yeah.
Cue up the music. Family celebrations. All together now. The family is abuzz with good food and beer. Beer Haiku Daily, written by Captain Hops.
Yay. Class, culture, and beer, and celebration. How topical. Now, Rick, are you enjoying a last beverage?
Of course. I am drinking the Never Summer from Boulder Beer Company.
Never
Summer. Which is becoming one of my favorite breweries.
So what kind of beer is Never Summer?
It's a winter ale. Well, let me read this to you. Welcome to Never Summer Ale, our version of an aggressive winter seasonal and third release of our Looking Glass series of specialty beers. Deep, ruby red, assertively hopped and brewed with dark caramel malt, Never Summer Ale makes even the coldest Colorado peaks seem warm. Thanks for picking up our winter favorite. Yada yada.
Huh.
These guys are a lot of fun. Boulder Beer Company, I like them.
So it's it says Never Summer. It's a winter ale.
Okay. It's a winter ale. It's just a deep, ruby, copper-colored, hearty ale.
Now, I pulled up. We're drinking the Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout. And this is my nominee, which I haven't made my soft porn version of the MP3 yet. Phil set the bar
off. Garrett Oliver's the brewer, right?
Yeah, and it's – oh, man. It's got a little smoke, a lot of chocolate and cocoa taste to it. Roasty, not so much the coffee, though, but there is a roastiness to it. We pulled up Rate Beer. It's got a 99, and it is saying this is an Imperial Stout, which it's 10.6% alcohol. So, yes, sir, it is an Imperial Stout. And this is kind of nice because I'm kind of leery of rate beer because they use the overall score. But if you look at the average on this is 4 out of 5. So that's a pretty high score on most of the beers. It's a great beer. And we've had a couple of beers with smoky notes to them. The last one we had, the Immort Ale, had that smoke. But this has like a gentler smoke. The chocolate, the alcohol is there, but just very slight warming, not over the top.
This beer is a feast. The other beers have their niche, but this is a feast.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole it's kind of hard to describe just how rich and the depth of the beer and just the this is good stuff. This is like – this is dessert. You don't have this. You don't have to have this with something. It's just wonderful.
You know, Claire would say that this would go good with a nice cigar.
That's right. She probably would.
Where is Claire? Claire's not been on.
Gone missing. Every time I see her, she says, "I need to come back and do a show."
Yes.
And I say, "Yeah, you do." She would probably adore this beer. So we'll have to try and get her back before we reach our milestone.
I'm really looking. When I drink this, I see an overstuffed chair, a golden retriever, a nice warm sweater, a cigar.
And a fire?
A fire and a nice
This is
book.
A luxury beer.
This is definitely – this is a Mercedes of the beer.
Martin, quit reading Land's End.
doing the beer show.
He's looking at the catalog.
I'm coming off the Viagra, okay?
He's coming down from his Viagra high.
Yeah. Being the sexiest man here.
he's got his smoking jacket on. It's terrible.
Just call me Hugh Hefner.
He got all his purple crushed velvet smoking jacket on. A little pipe.
Drinking a little
Courvoisier. A little Courvoisier. Some yak.
This chocolate stout beats the hell out of Courvoisier.
Yeah, it really does. This is just too cool. It's a smooth, seductive beverage.
And, you know, when we did the one show, I mentioned that this looks a little bit like Ike Turner. It does. I mean, it's that black.
It's a dark, noble beer.
Yes. And they say it's an IPA stout.
That, Martin.
It's got a lot. Yeah, we cut all that shit.
You did?
No, I actually left that in.
Oh, okay.
Or did I? You'll have to listen.
And which show would that be?
At the last show. So the darkness of it is a very dark, and it holds the head for quite a while. Which that's one of the things with stouts; they'll dissipate like crazy. This has it looks like a coffee. Head that on it, the little around the rim is kind of like a multicolored head. Beautiful beer, wonderful tasting.
Yes, and anybody at Brooklyn Brewery, please send us more.
Job well done. Send more. Yeah. Because obviously we don't know how we feel about it.
And it's so good, we'll pay for it.
That's right. We are not beneath paying. So, Rick, you're
holding the head endears it to me. If it holds the head, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and we did though. If you watch the upcoming Christmas video, hell, it may be out by the time this show gets posted. But we've got a Christmas video coming out, and this is one of the beer that I had, and you'll see. I got it on film. When I pour this into a tapered glass, it gets a big honking head. I was a little more careful in pouring, knowing that, in pouring into these. We're using the tapered glasses, so you get the nose, you get all that chocolate. And the roasty aromas come to it. It's good beer. Yeah, good beer.
And so, if I wasn't a beer drinker, this would be my favorite beer.
If you were not?
If I were not a beer drinker, and this was my first exposure to beer, I would never drink anything else again.
Well, you know, that's kind of a fair question. I wondered how much of a gateway the beer this might be, because it has a lot of alcohol.
Well, it's got a lot of taste to it. I'm afraid that, you know, your piss beer drinkers will drink this and say, wow, I've been drinking piss beer all these years. My God, have I made a mistake with
that. Well, that's what we can only hope.
Yes.
But so, Rick, how's the beer going down on your end?
Too good.
Gone? Is it still there?
Are you drooling over ours?
It's too good, though. It's good.
Okay.
Well, I'm drooling over mine.
Yeah, obviously we're pretty fond of the Brooklyn Stout here. Good stuff. Mmm.
Yes.
Sammy Claus is a very good start beer.
Yeah, it was super sweet.
It got us roasted and toasted.
Yeah, I think it kind of like had its way with us the first segment or so. And then what was we moved down some of the other beers we've had.
The Immortale.
Yeah, well, but prior to that, we had the Celebration.
Right.
Ale. Mixed reviews on that one.
Yeah, that one kind of slapped me around and said,
and
I don't like
Phil beat around the bush by saying, I don't like this. I'm still trying to figure out what he meant.
But, he always talks in forked tongues.
I know. It's like, wait, Phil, get to the point. And the ones that we had, the Celebration, I don't know. I mean, maybe if we had like some Mexican food or something.
I think
it was
just too much hops.
It was an awful lot. It was a hop bomb.
Yeah.
But not in the good way. You know, and usually we say that with hop bomb, yeah. No, this is a little not it. So Celebration Ale, I think we're all kind of giving it a pass, except for Rick. You liked it, right?
I liked it.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you're allowed to like things that we don't like.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, that's why it's super hoppy, and I was kind of waffling on the fence, but I think this is one I definitely have had some better beers. And what was that other beer you had? I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh,
you're on the spot.
Ovulation.
Now.
Winter ale.
Now, the winter ale is the one you're drinking
now.
Never
summer. Never.
Never
summer. Never summer.
That's what you're drinking now. Before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old Jubilee.
Yeah. Okay. Old Jubilation.
Well, of the four beers that we've had, Dick, I'm going to throw the stout out because it's just not a fair comparison.
That's our dessert.
That to me is the five star of the four star beers.
Of the ones that we've had, the one that has been the best one to me is the Immort Ale.
I'm kind of a toss up between the Immort Ale and the Santa Claus.
Well, the Santa Claus is very sweet.
I think it only because it had its way with it.
But I got to tell you, I like the Immort Ale because of the smoke, because of the richness and character in it. And we met Sam Calagione, too, the owner and brewmaster of Dogfish Head. And so we really got kind of the behind-the-scenes info. And so I'm kind of thinking about our time at the GABF and the good times we had there. And we had a lot of Immort Ale there.
Yeah.
So this is a good beer and a real special beer to me.
Well, it tasted – like I said, to me, the first thing that came to mind was smoked salmon.
I didn't get the fish.
I mean, it's not so much the fish as the aroma that you get with a smoked salmon. The Immort Ale was very good. I'm rating it right up there with the Santa Claus for me, my own personal taste.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. All right. The Celebration Ale, you know, it's one of those that I you know, Sierra Nevada has a very good rep, and they do some fine brewing.
They have a fine beer. I use their beer in our Gorgonzola cheese soup.
Yes.
Sierra Nevada Pale is one of my favorite daily drinkers.
Yes. The Celebration Ale, though, it just slapped me around and says, I don't need you, bitch.
That's right. Bent you over, had its way, and left you crying.
And I wasn't begging for more.
No, you aren't. So, Rick, what's your beer, number one beer out of all this?
I love the Immort Ale. I didn't have it tonight, but I've had it.
I know you have.
Times,
I know you
have. It's one of my favorites.
Stuff. But well, the ones that you have actually consumed tonight.
Tonight.
The 30 or so that you've had.
Sammy Claus is good. It's a nice starter. It's date rate beer because
that's
so sweet.
You know. That's it.
Would you please not give away my tips?
It's date rate beer. Man, that's pretty accurate too. Because it obviously had its way with all of us. We were incoherent the first part.
So that must be what ecstasy is like, huh?
Beer's to see. Okay, so the Santa Claus.
Sierra Nevada, I did enjoy it. I understand that it's a hop celebration, not a Christmas celebration, as they would falsely advertise. So understanding that and going in with that understanding, yes, that's a very good beer. And this Boulder Beer Never Summer Ale, got to recommend it if you can find it. It's good stuff.
All right, well, let's wind it up and call it a show. We got a lot of beers, and our apologies for the first part of the show where the Sammy Claus had its way with us. I think we're still recovering from it. We're going to have to get counseling after the Sammy Claus episode. Okay, Sexiest Beer Alive, more nominations and more softcore porn coming your way. And
shout out to Phil.
Shout out. Thanks, Phil. Man, thanks for being on the show. We promise we'll do better next time. And
just don't bring the Sammy Claus.
No, don't bring. No Sammy Claus will be allowed back in the beer studio again. And more stuff coming your way before the end of the year. We're up to all kinds of things. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Take care.
Jesse is a friend.